Welcome to The Live Stream Musician, brought to you by LottoHype.com. This channel was created to help you overcome the obstacles that you'll face on your journey as a live streaming musician. My name is Tim Aholic, and on today's episode of The Live Streaming Musician Podcast, we have a fantastic drum streamer that goes by the name of the American Pigeon.
All right, before we get into the video, there is a link to download the Live Streaming Musician Blueprint, which has gear lists, common pitfalls, all sorts of tips and tricks. Just click the link below the video and download that blueprint so you have everything you need to get started streaming. All right, let's get into the video.
How's it going, my dude?
Yeah, dude, what's up? Haven't done this before.
Yeah, no, we didn't just...
First time,
nice. Yeah, we didn't just record this and have to re-record this, which is good. So It's awesome that we didn't have to do that. That's perfect. This is much... This first time that we're doing this feels better than that other not time that we did this.
Yeah, it feels very good.
Yeah, this is feeling really good. So... Very quickly, how did you find out about streaming on Twitch?
So let me tell you, for the first time, I found out about Twitch. My brother showed me a Super Smash Brothers Melee tournament, and he said, "Check this out. It's a tournament going on right now, and it's super cool." And I was like, "What? This is live?" And he was like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Well, how does that work?" So I just started watching more Smash streams and eventually branched out and looked into other streams that were happening, and I saw a music category and was super interested because, you know, music is my like life, I guess, and saw people playing live music and was super cool. And me being specifically into drums, I saw the 8-bit drummer and was like, "Whoa, what's that?" And was blown away that was being able to be done. And yeah, that's how I got into it.
How long after you found music streaming did you start streaming music?
Probably like a couple months after, because I was living in an apartment and I was working at like really a terrible job that had super long hours. But I was able to finally get drums. Like, I was already planning on getting my own pair of drums anyway. And for the first time, I've never had like, for my first ever kit. So I was like, I have a computer. Maybe this is something that sounds fun. Like, just to be able to play and have like people, like friends watch. Like, that sounds super cool. So a couple months after, and it is when I like sat down and like try to figure it all out and do it for myself.
That's awesome.
It looks super fun.
Yeah, literally. One of my buddies showed me Twitch, and I think it was Bob Ross. It was the Bob Ross like marathon. And my buddy showed me that, and I was like, this is crazy. And then he showed me Creative. He was like, yeah, there's like people doing all sorts of stuff. Found 8-bit, found you, found Floop. And I think it was 90 days from that moment when I was like, yep, I'm doing it. Like, I'm doing it. Like, we're going. This is for sure the future. Yeah. I don't know how to do this, and it seems like a nightmare. And
yeah,
it pretty much is. So,
yeah.
I mean, technologically, as far as meeting people and having friends, it's a lot of fun. But I'm sure there's not a single cable in the room that you're currently sitting in. Is that all wireless?
It's all wireless. Nice. I don't know what cables are.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. Dude, living in the future is pretty sweet. Having wireless audio cables for everything is just incredible.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah, I can't imagine having to run a stream where you would have to route all of the cables from like any of your gear to like a computer. That would be insane.
I don't know what any of that means.
Yeah, that would be terrible.
You don't want to look at my floor right now.
Bro, you and I are, I love interviewing drum streamers because I actually like do for a fact know your pain. Like, I was just talking to Richie on the podcast before this one, and I was like, yeah, kind of describe to me like your whole audio setup and like, you know, like your routing. And she's like, oh, it's like a mic into an audio interface into my computer. I was like, wow.
Cool. Sounds really nice.
Yeah, that sounds like a dream come true. I'm like, I have a mixer, an interface, a second interface. I have like, because now I do the acoustic stream, the acoustic drum stream, because apparently I hate myself. I'm just a sadist.
So you probably have mics everywhere, right?
Yeah, 9 microphones, cables. It's a nightmare, which is a lot of fun. So speaking of, go ahead.
I mean, you kind of just put them where they lie. I mean, you try and clean it up as much as you can, but you know, it's going to be a mess. So like, you just live with it.
Yeah.
You
know? Hey,
it's not like no one's in the room. You just angle the camera where you can't see. It's all good.
Boom. See, that's the move. Understanding camera angles, you know?
Yeah.
That's one thing to keep in mind, kids. Kids at home, camera angles, you know?
Yep.
You can learn. Maybe watch one of those makeup YouTube tutorial videos. Those will show you all about camera angles. And then you can apply that to your stream, yep. and then boom. So speaking of setup, I love talking about audio routing because that's not a nightmare. So how do you have your stream set up? How are we able to hear your drums, your microphone, and how is that all routed?
It's not too complicated. Not at all, really. I think other people have this, the Yamaha EG03.
Okay.
Just USB mixer, 2-channel. It's really simple. and my drums are electronic, so easy. You just plug in the audio in, the audio out. And that's it, really. Well, this mixer, it's able to loop back all the audio that you put into it. So as long as that mixer is the main audio source in OBS, it'll pick up anything you put into that mixer.
Oh, awesome.
So, yeah, this is really easy. I mean, I had help getting this. This was definitely not my first setup. This has been the easiest.
How? But
back then.
Oh, go ahead. What's that? Go ahead.
Well, my first setup, I had no idea how to do anything. I have zero knowledge in audio and like, so I had to figure out everything myself. Like I just would just Google like audio interfaces, I guess. That was the only thing I knew. It was just like some sort of mixer, you know, thing. So my first thing was a M-Audio music interface, or not even just an M-Audio audio interface. And I had 2 channels, and I thought that could maybe work. So I just got it, and I just started plugging things, moving switches around. And eventually, like, I would record and then listen back and see if, you know, the drums were here on time with a microphone that I had. And eventually, like, it worked. So, like I had, it was just all trial and error, 100%. I had no experience in anything. I just went for it, you know?
Fair enough.
Eventually figured it out, so.
Yeah. So as far as how you have your music going into your thing, the way when I had a Roland kit, I played music off my phone and I plugged it into the actual Roland auxiliary and then I mixed it through that. Is that what you do?
That's how I used to do it.
Ah.
Because that was the only way. But with this, it can take all the audio coming out of the computer too.
Oh, nice.
So I play all the music from the computer. That goes to the stream. And then my drums going into the mixer go to the stream too. So it's all pretty much out of one thing.
Interesting. So it's, and then that goes from that mixer interface into your headphones. So you hear the music coming from the computer.
Yes. So I hear everything coming from the computer, and I hear my drums coming from the mixer too.
Oh,
so
nice.
My headphones are plugged into the mixer.
Nice. That's awesome.
Right. Yeah.
So as far as a technical difficulty that you faced that you overcame, you've had a lot, obviously, and it could be cameras, it could be audio. Are there one or a few technical issues that, when they were happening, felt absolutely almost impossible to solve? And then how did you solve those, whichever ones they are?
Well, I guess just figuring out in the beginning the audio routing and stuff, because like I had no experience. So like I said, it was just trial and error. And once I figured it out, I didn't move anything. I didn't touch anything. So... Once I figured it out, I didn't move anything. So I figured it out pretty easy. And then, but in the beginning, I didn't have stereo. I just had mono. So like when I would play a cover and that was split, I think like the right side, you couldn't hear. I heard it, but the stream couldn't hear anything. So like on Rage Against the Machines, that wham, wham, bricka, wham, wham, bricka, 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 that song, that part was never heard on stream. It was just completely silent, and only I heard it, and I was just like, and then no one else could hear it. I didn't even find out until like later on. So that was, that sucked. But then a friend, his name's Protostar, he's actually a music producer. Like he has songs on Monster Cat and stuff. He stepped in, he was like, yo, like, let me help you out, like get better audio. And he linked me to this mixer. And like he sat with me and like we sat down and figured it all out. And he helped me out a lot. But yeah. Yeah. It was bad in the beginning, but once I figured it out, I just tried not to move anything. Just leave it alone, and it worked.
That's fair. I saw your stream the other day, and you have 4 cameras now running simultaneously. Are those C922s?
Three of them are. No. 3 of them are just C920s.
Okay.
And one of them, the main one, the front one, is a GoPro.
Oh.
Hero 5, I think.
Plugged in like with a cam link or something?
Yeah.
Interesting. So are all of those C920s plugged into completely different USB buses? How do you not have the conflict of C920s?
Oh, I do have the conflict. I just fix it every day.
Every day.
Well, I mean, it doesn't take that long to fix.
So what do you do to fix it?
So I have three plugged in. I have one plugged in into a hub, one plugged into the front of my computer, and one plugged into the back of my computer.
Just to interrupt you very quickly, people with C920s, you have to put them on different USB buses. So that's why he has it on the front of the computer, a separate USB in the back, and then another one in a USB hub, like you were saying. Sorry to interrupt, but essentially...
Yeah. These cameras, they're not supposed to be like used more than one at a time. They came up with a fix, like a video on how to fix it, but I don't know, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So my top camera is always plugged in and it always works. It's always, I'd never have to move it. And I actually had to unplug two of them to get this one to work. Like Discord picked up all three, but it only took my top down camera. So I had to unplug them all. So that one's totally fine. I never have to move. The two on my side, they're both, the white balance is always all the way to the left, which is everything's blue. So I have to unplug one of them. That one's gone. Go into the settings of the one that is plugged in, change the white balance, then hit done. Then plug in the other camera I just undid, go into those settings and fix the white balance, and then that's it. I do that every day, so it doesn't take a lot. So
yeah.
Once I figured that out, I was like, because in the beginning when I first started it wouldn't work. You know, the settings wouldn't stay. So I'll like maybe just have this one plugged in and then see if it, or maybe just have this one plugged in. It was really annoying, but I figured it out, and I just okay. That's the way it works, and just do it every time. It's fine.
Yep.
It's just muscle memory. I can just do it blindfolded now, probably.
Yeah, that's the move. I heard, and I haven't used them yet, but I've heard the C922s play nice together.
Oh, really?
Because okay. Mr. Greggles has like that bullet time thing. Like, have you seen his stream recently? Mm-mm. So he set up like, you know, Matrix bullet time, where you have like 10 cameras on like a curved line, and then you could like in like a half a second, you can like rotate through all of them. So you can like see that thing that's happening, like in Matrix, like the bullet time, whenever they went around Keanu Reeves. He has, I think it's six or seven C922s, and the C922s are addressable. So it fixes that issue where, at least I haven't tried it, but I've been told that if you plug in, you could plug in an unlimited amount of C922s to the same USB bus and hub, and then you can address individual ones. Hopefully that works. I actually bought a C922 when they first came out because they were 1086 or 720/60. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to use it. And it was not good. And I literally returned it. It was like 2 days after it came out, I returned it and I bought another C920 instead. But I guess they've updated the firmware and it's better now.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah, I think I did buy a 22 and it didn't work right out of the package. So I just took it back and got a 20.
Yeah, the 20s are definitely more like bulletproof on their own. At least they were. But maybe they've like really stepped up their game with the drivers for the C922, which I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, it's been 3 years since that camera came out. Like it should be better now. Do you play live shows? And if you do, how does it compare to streaming on Twitch?
No, I've never played any. I don't really know like any musicians here.
Interesting. Well, I guess I don't know. Where are you based?
Texas.
Oh, okay. Cool. I have family in Texas.
Cool.
It's definitely hot there probably right now.
It's terrible. I'm drenched in sweat right now.
Yeah. I'm in Colorado, and right now it's 94 degrees outside, and there's no air conditioning in my house, and I'm in this basement.
What are you doing?
I'm pretending not to be completely soaked in sweat. I'm just like pretending I'm not getting sweaty. So if I pretend,
no, I'm not sweaty at all.
Yeah, no. I feel better now that I'm make believe, like the land of make believe. You know. I feel great. So you originally had a different Roland kit, and then you kind of upgraded. Now you're like Franken-kitting because you have like pieces from different. Like, so what's your kit situation? Yeah. What was it? What is it now?
The first one was a TD-11, just a basic, you know, kit from Roland. It was like $1,500, I think, at the time. And it was my first kit, so like I couldn't really go too crazy, but I knew I wanted something quality. You know, I didn't want to get one of those just the pad ones, like those those look like they feel terrible. So yeah, TD11, super basic, and it worked the same way as this one. You just plug and play pretty much to your interface. And then I would go through heads and like cymbals like every month, like every other week. And it was, I was just breaking everything all the time, and it sucked, which is my fault. Cause like I hit too hard and, you know, I was self-taught. So like, I guess I don't know proper technique, but, so eventually we like raised money, and like I had some money saved up to get to upgrade a kit. And we finally did. And we got this one, the TD25, which is like 2,500. And it's been pretty good for the most part. Some wires are kind of getting bad, but, and like a pad broke. So like I took that off, and then I do have one of my old pads from the old kit on there. So that's why it kind of looks off. And then like this cymbal is in, like I rebought this one cause I broke a cymbal, and it's just all over the place. I've replaced my hi-hat, which is like, it's like $400, dude. It sucks.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Countless bass drums ripped.
Yep.
You know, it's expensive. It sucks.
Yeah. I have, I've had to take apart and re-solder multiple Roland cymbals. I finally like figured out how to do it.
Oh yeah. Nice.
So that's the move. Honestly, if you haven't taken the time, there's a couple YouTube tutorials. I can even find the one I used to use, and I could probably send it to you, but it's not that hard to take them apart. There's like one little piezo sensor and the cheap little chintzy solder joints. Yeah. I mean, you give them a nice thwack and then it's just not the same. And then get yourself a solder gun for $20 and you know, just,
yeah, my brother helped me out and he fixed, one of my kick pedals or my kick pads that messed up. He just soldered it right back in those.
Nice.
Yeah. So
yeah, sometimes it works. Sometimes it's the actual like thing, and it's just like rip. Like can't really do much about it. But
yeah.
So you've been streaming for 4+ years now, right?
Yeah, just over 4 now. Yeah.
Nice. What have you seen that has attributed the most to your growth as a streamer? Has it been a schedule? Has it been like a frequency of streaming, raids, community building? Is there something that you'd like kind of point to and be like, you know what, this is kind of, I think, or is it like a amalgamation of different things?
I mean, I've always had a schedule. I've always tried to keep to it. I do pretty good, I feel. I kind of just been doing the same since the beginning, I guess, you know, mixing it up however I can, because, you know, doing the same thing over and over again kind of gets stale. But you know, just recently, like, I've been coming up with ways to just do different things and stuff just for like my own sake, and I think it's fun. So but yeah, I guess I really like being able to talk with anyone who watches, which is super cool, because sometimes we'll just go on rants for an hour talking about like hot dogs or whatever, and like I really love that. So like I really like how we can just talk, and so I really like that about my stream, like the community feel of it. You know, it's not just song. So definitely in recent times, that's what I've really loved about everything so far.
That's
and
awesome.
What I like to grow with, and that has helped, I think.
Yeah, when I tune into your stream sometimes, I see you doing like this thing that, honestly, I almost want like an entire stream of this, which is like, you finish a song and then you put on like this crazy hype music. It's like dance music or something, like some kind of like electronic, like dooms, 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 dooms. And then you're like, the camera zooms in and then you're like getting into it. And then like, it's like, usually like there's some kind of like song giveaway or something is happening. And like, there's just like this like hype moment that you're creating, which like, I'm not going to lie, I want like 3 hours of that. Like whatever that is, like, I just want like 3 hours of that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if we're doing like a raffle for a song, like just the time in between, just waiting for it, it's just like, all right, like it's coming, like I don't know, I guess. And then whatever music's in the background, it just happens, I guess.
Yeah, it's rad. It's usually like every time I tune in, it's just like some crazy electronic, it's like boom, stone, stone,
stone. Yeah.
And you're just like doing this like arm technique. I'm like, dude, this is totally it. Like, this is the move right here. So I asked,
right, I'll write that down, a whole stream.
Oh yeah. If you just do like literally just like do song giveaway stream, but then you don't ever play the songs. So you just have like a bunch of like,
we're going to give it away.
Exactly. We're giving away a song.
Soon.
All right, cool. Next song giveaway. It's like, when does my song get played? Oh, it doesn't. We just give away the song. Like, it's now yours. Like,
take it. Go
listen to it on your own time, you know?
Yeah.
It's now your time. Do you have a most memorable moment on Twitch? Is there like a time when you were streaming that you were like, man, this is pretty life changing, or something funny happened or anything like that?
I mean, I had a couple clips like go to Reddit and like kind of, I don't know, it blew up, but like got like a lot of views, like 20,000 views. Oh, I had played a song. I played a cover of a Pegboard Nerd song that came out. It was like freshly new and I didn't hear it before. Someone requested it. And like, I thought I did pretty good. So I put it on YouTube and I like tweeted it out and I like mentioned them in the tweet. And then their manager reached out to me. He DM'd me and he was like, whoa, this is like really cool. He was like, we want to like send you a shirt and like tickets and like maybe even do some more covers. You know, we'll take your video and we'll share it on our Twitter and on our Instagram and stuff. And I was like, whoa, like that was super cool. So they retweeted it, they put it on their Instagram and it's got like a lot of views. And I did a couple other covers for them and stuff, and I got tickets. I went to their show and that was pretty rad. So that's probably one of the biggest things that like has ever come out of the stream, I guess.
That's right. That's super cool. Yeah. Dude, that's freaking awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
Back to gear for a quick second, because I forgot to ask this one. What's the jankiest part of your setup? Is there like a cable that's all janky? Is there like tape on the ceiling somewhere? Is there
some? Oh, of course. Yeah. Do you not have tape on your ceiling?
Oh, I mean, of course I did.
Can I? Oh, yeah. Mess up your overlay.
Oh, no, no, it's perfect. You can do whatever you want.
Okay. The ceiling's coming off. The wire's just hanging there.
That's incredible.
Because I had to unplug it.
That's incredible.
I'll just explain it.
Okay, please.
My camera, my main camera, it's a GoPro, right? So it's not like a normal camera. It came with like different attachments, and so my camera is on an attachment that's on a selfie stick that's taped and wrapped to a microphone stand. That's how my, here, I'll show you.
Yeah, I'm into this.
So there's the GoPro.
Okay.
And it's on the selfie stick and it's taped to the microphone stand.
Yes. And it's
really terrible.
I'm so into that.
Yeah.
The main reason I asked that question is people, I'm hoping, and I have no actual idea. I've been doing this podcast now, this is the 9th one, and I don't actually know what the target audience for this is. I've been trying to think, like, maybe it's people that are just finding out about music streaming and want to learn about it, and they listen to this podcast and they get ideas, and maybe that's the people. Maybe it's, you know, seasoned people. I have no idea. So I asked the janky one because if it is a new streamer, like, listening or watching a podcast like this, then they can understand that, like, hey, man, even like those streamers that have tens of thousands of followers are taping things to microphones.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Like it's not like none of us have like some like everything is perfect and they're on nice professional tripods. It's like, no, right, like, dude, the tripod that I have, this is actually a fact. The main tripod that I use for my stream, I don't know if you've been on my stream, seen my stream in a minute, but since I set up the acoustic thing, the main tripod I have, I bought from a guy who came into a liquor store I managed and he was literally like, yo, man, I want to sell this tripod. I was like, all right, cool. And he's like, man, I want $7. I was like, $1.50. He's like, he was like $2. I was like, deal.
Deal.
Then he took that $2 and he bought a 25-ounce can of Bush Light. And that's
a great deal.
That is literally the tripod that I have used for all of my drum content for the past 2 years, is that sick tripod. So like, sick. People thinking like, man, they must have all this nice gear. It's like,
no.
No, I got nice $2 tripod that I bought from some dude to get a Bush Light. Like,
at least you have a tripod. My first stream, and if Noodles is here, he'll remember this. My first, it was just a C920. I had a microphone stand. Is this the same one? I think it's the same one. That was all the way up, and the C920 would just sit on it. No, there wasn't even tape on it, so it would fall over all the time. Just all the way to the ground. And I would pick it up and like put it back and like balance it all the time. That's how it was.
Are you in a basement right now?
No, I'm just in just a room in a house.
Like upstairs?
No, it's just one story. Just to break
okay. I was gonna say, did you or do you have problems with your kick pedal and their bass vibrating your camera?
Like, no,
that was never an issue.
No.
Okay, that's a common like drum thing. Like Kento Beans, who's in the chat, he had that same thing, which is like when you have like, I've had it with the Roland kit and with the acoustic kit, but if you're on like a you know, like in the top floor of a building,
right,
the wood, you could like just the slight amount, and then the camera's sucks. Doing this. Oh, yeah. I got around that by like essentially taping cameras to door frames because the door frame was solid. Smart, you know what I mean? So it's like
I'm pretty fortunate I didn't have to deal with that.
No, that's awesome. Yeah. Have you ever been to TwitchCon?
Yeah, I've been to the last two TwitchCons.
Nice. What did you think about TwitchCon?
The first one I went to, it was okay. I was still like I'm really shy. Like I'm a really shy person. So like, you know. The second one was super fun because like I got, because okay, the first year I didn't really know too many music streamers. Like I don't know, I work like I never like saw like all these super cool music streamers. Like I don't know how I missed it for so long. And then like after TwitchCon the first year, I was like, man, I want to get into more music streamers. And then literally after I like thought that, I saw the Saving Music Live thing, where they were like all in one house, like doing stuff for charity. I was like, oh my God, that's perfect. Like all these people are super cool. I started following a bunch of them. And then the second year of TwitchCon, they had like a big music thing where they had a stage and everything. And it's cool because actually Richie and Ryan, I've known Ryan for a little bit. So I went up to him, I was like, what's up? And he was like, hey. And then he told me about an event they were doing that night. They were streaming from this like hotel, like small ballroom that they like rented, I guess. And he was like, you should come in and like play and stuff. And I was like, really? Like, okay. Like that sounds super cool. Cause like, I don't know. I've always been like the guy in the back. Like I've always felt like I've been like in the, like the guy in the back, like, and so like, it was super like, I don't know. It was really cool for them to like invite me and stuff. So like I went and like, I played a song with like, Wax Wayne and a bunch of people up there, and it was super cool. And like 88-bit music was on the piano. It was super cool and it was streamed and I got to play with them. And so like that last year was like super cool. And it was just way more like just fun just to like talk to people that like were in the same like music and stuff. Was, I don't know. It was just really cool. It was definitely don't want to miss TwitchCons. So
absolutely.
Yeah, it was super cool.
Yeah. I've only been to 2016, but it was definitely a blast. Definitely a blast when I went. Did you catch the tail end of the Richie podcast that I just did?
Yeah. Yeah.
So as a drum streamer now, I kind of want to talk to you about that a little bit.
Yeah, I was there for the whole copyright thing, sweating.
Literally sweating. Yeah. I'm over here like it's over. It's a wrap. It's done. We're all going to jail.
We're all going to jail, dude.
Oh, I mean, God. I think the penalty is a year in jail, and it's $1 million fine for every single time you play somebody's music without their permission. It's like, yikes. That's a big yikes.
It's scary, dude.
It's interesting. Like I was telling her, I don't know if, I keep thinking the hammer's going to drop, but it could be that maybe the hammer doesn't drop and that people are already working on it and they're just working in the background and they're trying to come up with something. I think they're more concerned, to be honest, about your big streamers. And I'm sure Ninja and those guys don't play copyrighted music. I'm sure they don't. Like, there's no way they do. But there's still some, like, big streamers that do. And, like, for example, like, you know who Pay Money Wubby is?
No.
I love that dude's stream so much. You should check out Pay Money Wubby sometime. I'll link you in Discord. His stream is incredible. He has a bunch of like really hilarious YouTube videos. But Pay Money Wubby, they do like, you know, like the media share where you pay like 30 cents to share media. Oof, like even
that's scary, but yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely scary. But even that is like, because maybe it's not music, but it could be like a clip from an episode of Friends or, you know what I mean? Like you still have to have rights to play all that too. So it's like, I think, even though us music streamers are kind of like, holy crap, hopefully this doesn't come down on us, I think there are bigger fish to fry, I think, even inside of the Twitch ecosystem for copyrighted media being played. I could be wrong. I mean, I don't know, but I don't know. It's definitely interesting. It's definitely, I'm definitely mildly switching my whole situation over to.
Yeah, and a lot of people are, and it's definitely smart.
I think, you know, I think there's almost like a place for a like either a company or just a collective to come together and do what 8-bit did, but on a larger scale, and just be like, hey, if you're an independent artist that owns the rights to your music and it's not owned by some record company, and you are totally cool with streamers making what is called user-generated content, UGC, right, on top of your content, then fill out this form and submit it to this thing. And then maybe this is something that I could help, or we could maybe, like, somebody could try to figure out how to build a Twitch whitelist or the streamer friendly whitelist of music and try to get it as large as possible. Yeah. Like maybe that's the next answer, is kind of like, all right, because there's a lot of awesome independent artists, electronic artists, and, you know, indie pop and stuff like that, that even all of us like know.
Yeah.
But maybe there just needs to be, because 8-Bit did it for himself, and he plays different music. You know, he's got the more video game stuff, and he reached out to those content creators of like the Castlevania soundtrack and all these, you know, different things. Yeah, yeah. And so that's kind of more his brand, is the video game stuff. But maybe for us non-video game music performers, maybe somebody out there, hopefully listening to this podcast right now, wants to do all of the heavy lifting and come up with a master whitelist of like a zillion songs, because that can't be easy. Like, that just can't be easy. And then I guess the real question would be, how would you integrate that with Twitch so that Twitch doesn't flag you either way? Because it's like, hey, no, I'm playing from the official streamer whitelist. You know, I don't
know.
Yeah. It's
maybe like an extension or something.
Yeah, that might work. I don't know. I'm just brainstorming over here. I'm trying to figure, because this is definitely a problem, and I'm not sure how to solve it, to be honest. So
yeah, I mean, it's scary. It's scary. It's definitely scary. It is definitely time for everyone to at least start thinking. Well, it should be have started thinking about a long time ago of just other things to do, you know. Because, like, for me, like, this is, like, my main thing. So, like, if I just switch tomorrow, you know, everyone knows me for that. So, like, it's going to be like, oh, I knew you for that. You're not doing that. Okay, maybe, you know, see you later. But, you know, at least start trying new things and, I guess, making people understand. I mean, that's all we can do, right? That's all we can do if they don't want to watch. And if we can't do it and then we're doing something else and they don't want to watch, like, all right, like, sorry.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the facts. I definitely think there's... It's weird because music is different streaming for me than other things. So, for example, like, I watch music streams a lot actually for the music, obviously, right? Like, I'm watching the music stream. I want to see you play drums. I want to watch somebody else play guitar or whatever. Not saying I don't want to watch you play guitar, but you know what I'm saying.
You don't want to watch you play guitar.
Probably don't. No. But so I watch music streams for music, but there's like, I watch a lot of World of Warcraft streamers, and I don't play World of Warcraft, and I'm not even watching their game. They're just a homie.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I go to their stream and I'm like, yo, what's up, dude? And he's like, oh, just chilling. You know, I'm over here in Azeroth doing something. I'm like, all right, cool. I have no idea what you're doing. I don't actually care, but you're kind of a homie. And I wonder if we can kind of figure out a way to transition the music community vibe into that kind of a situation where people are more coming to your stream because you're a homie than you are a jukebox, you know?
Yeah.
Like, homies over jukeboxes kind of thing. Right. Like, maybe a campaign we can do to to end the human jukebox, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's why I try to, like, well, I don't even, like, try, or I didn't even think about it. Like, it just happens. So just like between every song, like, just like if a conversation comes out, like, and we're just all talking and like it's going for a long time, like, I don't freak out like, oh man, I haven't played a song in a while. Like, we'll just keep talking about it for forever, you know. So like, and I guess that interaction, you know, is a better like connection with people for stuff like that, like, instead of just, oh, I just want to hear music if you're not playing, okay, bye. I mean, yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as where you are now with your stream, you're doing a lot of drum covers and stuff like that. Where, if everything goes the way you would like it to go, what would you be doing on stream 2 years from now?
I don't know.
Like, let's say the copyright hammer doesn't drop and they're like, streamers can play whatever they want. Would you just keep doing drum covers? If so, sweet. If would you try to do more collab stuff? Would you try to transition into games, a talk show? Would you start a podcast? Is there anything, like, if you were in the next 2 years, if everything went the way you wanted it to, what would you imagine your stream might look like?
Well, I guess, I mean, if covers are just always safe, then yeah, cool. I actually just made like a list of over 400 songs of like my favorites. And I've been like pushing that on like everyone, like, yo, if you can't think of a song, like, here's my favorites, or just doing a full day of like just my favorite songs. That way I like, I'm having fun to like the fullest like extent, and I'm playing to like my like top of skill, because it's like all the songs that I love and can play. But yeah, like especially like collabing stuff, like that sounds super fun. Like I've done a couple with Wax, and they're always super fun. So that definitely a lot more. And like I've done game streams here and there, like super rarely, but they're always pretty fun. So like I would definitely like to just do more. Like if it's where I want to be, I guess, then like I can just do whatever I want and like always have, you know, people hanging out. So yeah, I guess if covers are cool, then yeah, of course, just doing covers all the time, because like it's what I love to do, right? I thought about like maybe even like doing practicing streams where I just like have a metronome and just like practice on a certain skill or something. Sounds kind of boring, but yeah, I guess doing more than I am now, but like I guess if you know, if everything works out, then just what I want all the time, you know?
Right. Yeah. I definitely would like to do a lot more IRL streams. Like I went to like get a pizza the other day, but I went to like the dankest pizza place in Colorado, which is like way not close to my house. So I just like, I didn't read chat while I was driving.
Yeah.
Did it.
I did not do that. Of course I would not do that. But I streamed like the entire like ride up there and getting the pizza. And like the whole stream was just like getting a pizza. Like that was the stream. And people were like, holy crap, we're getting a pizza. Like, so it's like stuff like that is kind of like, you could definitely like make some memes in there too. So, yeah. Shout out Sunfire TV. Yo, what up?
What's up?
But yeah, I think trying to see what's going on as far as what can be done on stream. I talked to Echolocations, and he was talking about all sorts of like really interesting ideas as far as like changing audio, video, and a lot of the guys too now are doing like the users or the viewers of the stream can change the lights or can change the background and stuff like that. And I think there's definitely going to be a place in the future for a lot more interaction between the viewer and the streamer.
Yeah.
As far as what actually gets displayed on the stream. So I'm interested to see kind of the innovation that comes from that. Because right now, I mean, we're just at the very beginning where it's like, you can change my lights from blue to green. But like, pretty soon it might be like, so I have an idea for a stream. And if you steal this, I'm totally into this because I just want to see it. So if you steal this, it might be the move, but know that I'm working on it, so I might beat you to it. That's all I'm saying. So here's the stream idea. Ready for this?
Okay.
I'm trying to come up with ways to go viral, because this podcast is not a viral thing. This is just to help people and do the thing, but I want to do like content that goes viral. I have an idea. Mm-hmm. I set up my drum set in like a parking lot, right? Mm-hmm. And I run my, now it has to be a parking lot of a building to make sure that there's internet, because I have to, obviously I'm streaming, right? So I need to be plugged in. So I'm set up in a parking lot with like a 99-foot Ethernet cable running, you know, into this building to the streaming computer. And it's $5 to throw a water balloon at me. It's $10 to throw like a water balloon with colored dye at me. It's like $15 to throw like a water balloon filled with like weird stuff, like flour or like
mayonnaise.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's like different water balloons that are in like the $30 to $100 category that are like crazy. Like one of them is like, you know, like just like, you know, like a bunch of like pieces of like military grade tape. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, and so essentially, and then what ends up happening is the balloons are already there in these big buckets. And then I have two homies that they're just getting paid to throw water balloons at me all day. And then what they do is they, when you donate in the thing, then you write the name of the person who donated on that balloon. You put it in front of the camera, right?
Yeah.
And you'd be like, cool. It. And then you chuck it at the dude playing drums.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, I'm telling you that right there. If you want to go viral on the internet, I know how the internet works. That would, for a fact, because here's the thing. You do a 12-hour stream. I mean, it's going to be a beast, but you do a 12-hour stream. Then there's no way that the internet wouldn't have caught that in 12 hours. It'd be on Reddit. It'd be on Twitter.
Right,
like, you know what I mean? It would be everywhere. So by the end of that stream, you're going to be like covered in all this crazy stuff and you're going to probably have like $19,000. So,
I'm super down for that.
I'm not going to lie. The cool streamers would do it for charity. I right now could probably use like a couple bucks. So
yeah.
I would take balloons to the face to pay my rent on time, you know. That's what I would do. But
I'm super down. When can we tomorrow? You ready?
Dude, I'm into this. Like I'm not even kidding. Like what part of Texas are you in?
San Antonio. Oh, okay. South.
Yeah. Man. I was going to say, I got family in Dallas. We could probably figure out something. I know people with some parking lots out there. We get some nice internet. Just because the thing
I know some parking lots.
Exactly, bro. I know some parking lots. what I think is like we get, we go like to a pawn shop or like Craigslist some chintzy drum set. And we're going to have to cost those mics to the game. Like those mics are getting costed to the game. Like we're going to buy some cheap like $100 Samson mics. And they're just getting costed to the game.
Yeah.
But
I've always wanted to like play outside and stuff.
Yeah.
It just sounds like a nightmare, but
it's a lot of fun. I played a lot of like outdoor. I played like Electric Forest and Lightning in a Bottle. I played like some of the biggest music festivals in the United States. That stuff is, there is actually no feeling like getting pushed out on a drum riser. And there's like 7,000 people in front of you. There's nothing like that. That doesn't exist. Like if I could buy that in a bottle, I would pay everything for that bottle of that. And just I wouldn't even drink it. I would just like smell it like once a week. Just like, oh my God, I can't believe that's real.
Dang,
yeah. First time I got pushed out on a riser like that was at Lightning in a Bottle in 2017, I think. I had to hold back tears because you just see all these people and you know you're about to just murk all of these people. Like you're like, dude, I've been rehearsing for 9 months straight. I'm about to literally come out, play perfectly everything. And I was playing for a signed artist at the time. And so everyone knew his music. So I was like, man, we are just going to absolutely just cut these people in half. Like this audience is going to get eviscerated. And it was in California, Lightning in a Bottle. And so what we did is we opened up with California Love. So it's like California Love, but and it's like an electronic music festival, but we were like a 4-piece band playing electronic music. So we had like drummer, bass player, keyboard, like we were just murdering, like, and then coming out with California Love, it's like all the homies, like that's literally one of my favorite stories is, man, I love that. That is actually, if someone was like, what was the best day of your life? It was Lightning in a Bottle in 2017, May 26th. That was like the best day of my entire life so far. And everything now incredible. Is just trying to get back to that, you know, like,
how do I
play more music like that? It's like, oh God, I got to figure that out. Anyways, I got to get off this podcast and figure this out. No, I'm just kidding.
we got to figure out this parking lot.
Yeah, that actually, bro, I'm not kidding. That might be, if there's a way to go viral on the internet, 12-hour drum stream with getting water balloons filled with all the weirdest stuff thrown at you for like $5 to $100, game. Just game.
I'm so down.
I mean, literally, bro, that would be like, oh, excuse me, let me have
$12,000. Do that in my house. Someone, I need a friend to just throw out a bottle of water balloons.
Exactly.
I don't care.
Because we all had the gimmicks, like, you know, like, oh, if you donate a dollar, I'll play blindfolded or I'll play with one hand or whatever. I'm like, that's cool. Like, I'm not hating on it. It's cool, but nothing's cooler than like, wait, so if I put $5 into this stream, that guy over there is going to chuck a water balloon full speed, like, at your face?
Full speed.
Bro.
We need like, an MLB pitcher on site.
We need someone to, like, actually take the radar. So you can see how fast the water balloon that you paid for hit him. Like, 43 miles an hour. Like, that would be incredible.
Yeah.
Sick. I'm not going to lie. Let's figure this out, like, right now. Like, we got to figure this out, like, in the next, like, week or two. Like, I'm sure Kento's in on this. We got like, that's nine. Right. I mean, rent is due here, I think, in, like, 3 days. So we got essentially tomorrow. So tomorrow's Saturday. Let's figure this out. Like, we got to figure this out. What's up?
You guys live together?
No, I haven't. He lives in Nashville.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying, but we live thousands of miles away from each other, and we have 1 day to get this. See, Thomas Frank's already trying to throw a water balloon in my face. Like, this is already happening. Like, I'm telling you, this is the answer. Like, if there's an answer, to be honest, I think I need to figure this out. If I figure it out, I'll call you. We can get you a flight and we'll throw water balloons at you too.
I'm so down.
Because I think this is like the only way to do this. So do you, yeah, hashtag content, big facts. Do you have, back to the podcast, back to like, trying to help people with their streaming instead of giving away my best idea.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for somebody that's looking to get into music streaming? So someone who's like right now they've watched your stream and they've watched other people and it's kind of like, you know, I'm thinking about doing it. Do you have like maybe watch out for this, or, you know, people are going to try to make you do this? Is there any kind of stuff that you would say to somebody that you would like either look to avoid or to try to move more towards if you're going to start music streaming?
I mean, I guess, and this is like this for everybody who starts streaming, like so many people expect like to see, you know, hundreds of people, and that's just not going to happen, you know, not even within the first, you know, couple months, you know? So like, I'm sure like a lot of people will try it and then like they do it for a week and then they don't see like insane growth. So they're like, ah, maybe this isn't for me. Like I've been doing this for 4 years, you know, and I'm still like not even at like, you know, 100 viewers. So, I guess that like don't expect like to be massive like anytime soon. And like if you're not having fun in the first place, like, why are you doing it? And I mean, I everyone says this. Like, I'm sure if they look into like, oh, how to start like a stream or whatever, like they hear the same information. So it's everywhere. People know. They just like. So many people get into it for the wrong reasons, but like if you want to play music, like even if you have your own cover, like if you do covers, if you do originals, like I don't know, I guess just stick true to yourself and like just do what you want to do, you know. Like people have tried to like tell me like, oh, you should like do this or this, but if I don't want to do it, or if I'm not into it, like I'm not going to do it, you know. So
100%.
I guess that's a big one. Just don't expect anything. Don't expect anyone to watch. Just, you know, in the first place, and just do what you want, you know, and don't be a douche. Just be cool.
Yeah, I fully agree with all that. I definitely have multiple times throughout my streaming career.
Right.
Yeah. I don't like massive, massive quotations around that.
Yeah.
I have done multiple things that I thought would get me growth that didn't work. And multiple things right. That I knew I wanted to do that I thought wouldn't give me growth, that got me growth.
Right.
So multiple times it's like, I'm going to be the drum cover guy because everyone's doing the drum covers. And, you know, you see growth and people like it. And then I'm like, well, no one's going to want to watch me produce music. And then I go into Ableton and I start producing music and people are like, hey, man, how'd you make that drum sound? Hey, what's up with that reverb? I'm like, what? Like, where are you people coming from? Like,
yeah.
I didn't think you guys existed. So it's... And the production streams that I've been doing recently are like 4 hours long and I like forget that I'm doing it. And then I'm like, oh my God, it's like 3 a.m. I got to go to bed.
Yeah.
So it's like, but then I do like the drum stream sometimes, especially if people are requesting stuff I don't like, and it could be an hour into the stream. And I'm like, man, I would like to not be behind this drum set right now. I would actually like to not be sitting here playing stuff that I don't like playing. And like you were talking about, like you have a list of favorite songs and you can play at your best ability. It's like, I like playing drums well.
Right,
and when I'm playing music that I like, I'm playing drums well. When someone's throwing weird music I've never heard at me, I actually get zero enjoyment out of that. Some people do. Some people are like, man, I've never heard this song. This is really cool, right? Awesome. And those people, I'm very almost envious of the fact that you enjoy playing stuff that you never heard and whatever. But for me, I if I don't like it and I don't feel like I only like playing drums when I feel like I'm doing it well. You know?
Yeah.
So if I'm sitting there like, sha-da-da-da, oh crap, there's like a break here. Oh, I've never heard this. And I'm just like sitting there like with like a frustrated look on my face, halfway playing a song. I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
But, yeah. And I mean, usually I can pretty much have fun with almost anything. Usually. Almost. So of course there's a couple times where, you know, usually like at least every stream, there's just one, at least one where it's just like, what is this, dude? Like, it's not even a song.
Death Grips.
There is one song that's super fun to play. I forgot what it's called. But it's super fun to play. But yeah, when I didn't know what Death Grips was, I was like, oh, cool, what's this? And it's just like, I was like, what do you want me to do, man? Come on. But most of the time, I can have fun. Like, most, like, usually every stream, like it's 100% songs I've never heard before. And I usually have fun with them, but I did make a list just so, you know, I can do streams where it's just, everything's like super fun and like 100% of the time. So, but yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, for sure.
So I think you might've alluded to it, and I think I might know the answer to this question, but is this your main source of income at this time?
Right now? Yeah. I lost my job like a couple months ago, and it's been really lame, but yeah.
Yeah. Dang. So that alludes to another question, which is, have you ever thought about quitting streaming? And if you have, why did you, what were the reasons you gave yourself to quit? And then what were the reasons you gave yourself to not quit if you thought about quitting?
Right. I've never thought about quitting. Like, nothing's ever made me go like, I don't think I can do this anymore. Like, yeah, of course we have ups and downs, right? But I've never thought about like saying, oh, I shouldn't do this anymore. Like, it's been 4 years, like, and I've always am like excited to do it, you know, even on days when I don't feel my best. Like, of course there's some days where it's just like, it's like unrelated reasons that like, I can't do that. Like, you know, but no, I've never really like thought about like quitting like for good.
That's awesome. So, most of the time the answer to that question is yes. So you're actually the first person that's answered no to that, which is really cool. Like, that's actually awesome. Cause I think for a lot of people, streaming can be really discouraging.
Because yeah, for sure.
It's just like you were saying, which is the right answer, which is have no expectations. Don't come into it and be like, if I don't do this and nobody watches me, then I'm going to be upset. It's like, well, why? Right. Like, just play the drums because you like playing the drums, or, you know, write songs because you like writing songs. And if somebody comes along, make sure to include them in what you're doing and be like, hey, what's up? Thanks for taking time out of your life to say what's up to me, you know?
Yeah. And I think like, if this is like your main source of income and you have like no other, like, because like I'm looking for a job like currently, like I know I'm not making this like my full-time thing, like it's nowhere where it needs to be to do that, but like if it is your main source and then like you suffer like a lot of lows and then like you're struggling all the time, it's just going to be stressful like getting up there like, oh well, today like I feel like it's not going to work, and you know, so I can see that for sure. But like, you know, it's always been in the back of my mind, like, this is probably not going to be a full-time thing, like, for me, at least right now. So, you know, I'm always going to have, you know, at least a job. So I think that's pretty much, I think that's why, for me, at least.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think one thing I've always said to myself about streaming is the only way to fail is to stop. There is no, there is no failing at streaming. Like,
exactly.
The only way to actually not see growth is to stop. That's it.
Right.
If you stop, then you failed, for sure. But having a bad stream, having a bad month, even taking a break, none of that's failing as long as you get back up and you put back the time. I mean, going back to the thing is, really, you're meeting people on the internet. You're having relationships with these people. And if they feel like you're adding value to their lives and they want to, you know, give you a monetary exchange for that value that you've given them in their life, then that's fantastic. And that might happen more the more you stream. It might not.
Right.
You know, it might not. You might make no money streaming. I mean, that's almost impossible. It is almost impossible to make $0 streaming. Like, every streamer, even in their beginnings, usually ends up making a couple bucks from someone that's like, hey, here, you know, like, I can't tell you how many streamers I've, you know, given $2 or $3 or $5 to that's like, you know, a brand new streamer. And I'm like, oh man, this dude's a homie. Like, hey, dude, here's $5. Like, way to put in the effort to set up the cameras and the mics and not, you know, deal with the criticism from strangers on the internet telling you that your sound is awful or whatever it is. You know, just way to push through that and still push start streaming today. Like, way to go, dude. Here's a couple bucks, you know. And I think that's, this content is free. And so people, if I find a good streamer that has really good content, I don't mind buying their t-shirt or giving them a few bucks. Cause I'm like, man, like, or subscribing, you know, it's like, I like this content and I would like to see this content in the future. I don't want it to just all of a sudden dry up. And then it's like, oh, there's no more of that. Well, I probably should have helped that person when they were streaming cause I liked their content and now it's gone, you know?
Yeah, it's the you miss all the shots you don't take kind of thing.
100%. Yeah. You're super optimistic, and I like that because there's definitely, not saying it's necessarily a bad thing. It's just part of life. But there's definitely a lot of people, I think, that stream that might actually not be, might not have the mental fortitude to stream. They might not be able to deal with criticism. They might not be able to deal with the fact that nobody's watching. They might not be able to deal with the fact that they're not making any money doing it. There's a lot of things that make streaming difficult. And for the average person that's not an optimistic, upgoing, you know, upbeat kind of like, hey, I'm still going to end up having to have a job, but whatever, I like streaming. Then I think for some people, this might not be the right situation for them until they can kind of understand that that's a problem, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, mental fortitude is definitely, it's a thing. And it took me years to get there too. I mean, to be honest, for my first whole like 6 months of streaming, I was just like, not drunk, but I would just like drink beer and play drums. Because that's what I was going to do anyways. I was going to be down in the basement, like having a couple beers and playing drums. And I was like, oh, I'll point the camera at it, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And so for me, and if nobody watched it, it didn't matter. I was just having a couple beers and playing drums.
Yeah. Yeah. Like same with me. Like I was just like, I finally got my first ever kit and like, I'm just going to be playing along the songs that I want anyway, because like, I don't have any friends to play with or whatever. So like, just put on the camera and like, cool.
Yeah. I think,
same.
Dealing with Gary Vaynerchuk says it best, but essentially he says like when somebody leaves a bad comment or a mean comment on any of his content, he just feels bad for that person. He's like, I can't imagine being a person that took time out of their day to watch somebody's content and then post something negative about their content. He's like, I actually don't have the time for that. I have a family. I've got a business. I've got other stuff to be doing. He's like, I feel bad for this person that's how they're investing their time from their one life is to watch content, take it in, and then say something negative about it. And so when I see people now that are negative or trolls, I actually just feel compassion for those people. I'm just like, man, like maybe they're having a rough time in their life. Maybe their parents are not super cool, or maybe something's going on, but there's a reason why this person is trying to get attention from me by being negative. And you know, I'm not upset by it. It's just, honestly, it's kind of sad. Is the way that has helped me get over when somebody says like, you're not, I bet you can't even play this on the drums. I was like, you're right. Actually, I can't play everything Mike Portnoy has ever written. You're right.
Yeah.
You're actually right. Yeah. I'm not capable of doing that. Yeah. I can get paid to play the drums and travel around the world because I've done that. So that's actually way more important to me than doing that other thing. But,
And like, of course we can, it's all like, some of it's like criticism. Like, of course we can, you got to be able to take that and know when it's that and know when it's just some idiot, like just ranting. But like, if someone comes in and they're just like rude for no reason or like mean for no reason, like it makes me laugh. It makes me laugh so hard when like, they're just mean for no reason. And like us, we can just like one button and like, they're gone. But yeah, I don't know. I've usually done with trolls, like, don't really get to me at all.
Yeah, I it depends on the type of troll, but I've definitely I try to embrace trolls, because actually some of my biggest my oldest community members now are trolls. A guy came in when I was playing like some music and he was just like, this sucks, this song sucks, you suck. I was like, honestly, like I don't even disagree with anything you just said. This song does suck. This does suck. This, you know, I'm not the best drummer on planet Earth. Like, I'm honestly, man, I'm on your team. Like, who else can we go make fun of now? Like, I'm like, I just kind of like bring them in. I'm like, hey, bro, it seems like you're upset. So come here for a sec. Let's make fun of me together. Like, let's both make fun of me. All right. Have we made fun of me together? Awesome. Yes, I have a terrible mustache. Yes, I get it. I'm wearing sunglasses inside. I understand. I get the whole thing. Right. Sweet. Now that we've made fun of me together, we can make fun of other people together too, you know? Yeah. And so I kind of do that. Yeah. Just, I hug the trolls, as Sunfire said. I mean, these are big facts. These are like the biggest facts. One thing Sunfire TV just said in the chat here was that, she still struggles mentally looking at the view count drop after raid. So when somebody raids her stream and then the initial view count goes up and then it drops, she says she still kind of struggles with that, which that can definitely be a thing. I over time have done better, and it's hard. It's It's definitely addictive to look at the viewer count. There's something about looking at the viewer count, which is weird, you know, and I'm interested to get your opinion on this, because for me, half the time I leave it off. Like right now, I have the viewer count completely off. You know, I checked it one time during the last podcast, and there were like 20 people in here, and I was like, holy crap, like I actually can't believe there's 20 people in here right now. This is awesome. This is really cool. But I'm not going to have a better or worse podcast based on how many people are in here. I'm doing this because I want to have a conversation with you. I want to start this conversation. I want to just really put this content out there and be like, cool, no one's doing it. I might as well do it, right? Mm-hmm. But do you struggle with the, one, do you have your viewer count on? And two, if you do, do you struggle with that? Or what impact does the viewer count have on your, you know, situation?
Okay. Well, no, I haven't had it on in like over two years. I turned it off a long time ago because yes, it will mess you up for sure. So I haven't had it on in a long time. And like when raids come, like, of course it's going to go down. Like, of course it's going to go up and of course it's going to go down. Like for me, like it's almost always gone back down, or what it feels like to like what it was before the raid after like, you know, so long. So yeah, I don't have it on. I don't think it's ever good to have it on. I mean, if it doesn't bother you, cool. But like for most of the people that have talked about it, it's just like, oh man, I always see it go up and down. Like just leave it off. Cause like it can say like 20 or 30, but then like maybe only like four or five people are talking. Like you're not even going to worry about those other people. You're just going to worry about the people that are talking. And like the people that lurk, like super cool. Like if that's all they want to do, like just, I don't know, just let them do it. So I don't ever look at it. I just interact with like who's interacting with me. And like if no one's talking, then like I'll just talk to myself. You know, I'm just, a thing that I've always heard a lot of people say, which is good, is just like think out loud. If no one's talking to you, just think out loud. Like if you're playing a game, just be like, oh man, like that part sucked or something. Or if you're just playing music, maybe I should try this and then like just do it or whatever. But yeah, I haven't had it on in over 2 years. So, cause it will mess. And it started messing with me too. That's why I decided to turn it off. Cause I was just like, oh man, like, I was at 30 and then like, I went to like 25 or went to like almost below 20. It's like, oh man, that sucked. But like, so I just turned it off a long time ago and kept it off.
The other parallel I like to think about the viewer count is it's like a train station. People are only in the train station in between getting on the train and leaving the station. So there's actually an amount of people that are always sitting and waiting for the next train. Now, the next train might be they need to go to work or they need to go to bed or they need to do other things.
Right.
And so they're in the train station for a period of time. And some people are coming in on a new train and getting into the train station waiting for their next train, whatever that means.
Right.
You know, they're going to bed, yeah, or doing something. So the amount of people in the train station might actually stay the same, but it's different people all the time. Because essentially it's this rotating amount of people that are, right, getting into the train station. Some people are getting out, you know. So the, yeah, amount of people actually isn't how...
Just the viewer count.
That's the thing. It's like if you were to see, like I know Stream Elements does this, but if you were just to see the amount of people total that entered your stream and stayed for more than a minute, I think that number would be more uplifting to most people. Like, oh man, right, 800 people came by and hung out for a minute. Awesome. When you, yeah, just see like 20, like you just see 20 for like an hour, yeah, and a half, 2 hours straight, you're like, man, there's only 20 people. It's like that might have actually been like 300 people.
Yeah.
You just don't know because people are constantly getting in and getting out.
Right.
So it's
I mean, you can see that by your channel views, right? Like people have, yep, like my follow count is wrong because I got hit with a follow bot, but like the viewer is like 200,000 or something. So it's just like that's a lot of people, you know, and it's just going to keep continuing to grow. So that's just more people that might be interested in you.
That's the big facts. That's the big facts. So I'm really interested to know if, and I think I know the answer to this. Are you family friendly or are you not a family friendly streamer? And if so, why are you? And if you're not, why are you not?
Like family, like no cursing and stuff.
Yeah. Like, would a 13-year-old with his mom in the room be able to watch your stream?
I guess depending on her mom, but I guess what you're trying to say, I guess no. I mean, I curse all the time.
Yeah.
That's just who I am. I, yeah, guess, so
100%.
I just want to be me to like 100%.
Perfect.
Like, you know, I don't want to like change myself for that.
Depending on the mom.
I mean, if my son, if I had a son that was 13, he was watching, I'd be like, cool. whatever.
Right.
This guy's not like killing people or whatever. I don't know.
Fair enough. And yeah, man. Is there something behind your brand? Is there a reason why you changed your brand? And what made you change your brand to what it is now?
Well, I had my name Exploding Pigeon, right? And then when I would like host people or whatever, like people that didn't know me, they would just see my name. Or even if I just went to a chat, they would see my name and they would think like I was hurting animals. So I was getting annoying. So I wanted to change it. And then I wanted to just get Pigeon, just that. And it's been out of use, like that name. It's been like when you go to that, it says like, oh, you can't, this is not a real channel. So I was waiting for that to unlock so I can just snatch it. But it was taking forever. And then like I used to wear these American flag trunks to like every stream. And then like for July 4th, I always had like a big flag up and like did a bunch of like USA stuff, red, white, and blue stuff. And then someone just suggested it. And then I put it in the search, the name changer thing, and it was available. And I was just like, are we going to do this right now? Like I had a USA flag suit. I was like, I can put that on right now and just play in that every time. And then we just jumped in and we just did it and we just changed it. And then I had the suit, and then I had the suit for like a year and a half every day wearing that. And now we're here.
That's rad.
That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually kind of upset you're not wearing the suit right now. You know,
I moved on from it.
I don't think you can move on from an American flag suit. I don't think that's actually how that works. I think
stream used to be
pretty decked out. I actually remember some like bandanas and like I remember some. There were definitely some USA paraphernalia, as they would call it.
Yeah, it was everywhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've calmed down a little bit.
Hey, fair enough, my dude. Well, thank you so much for your time, man. This was a lot of fun. I really, really, really enjoyed talking to you. You're a homie. I love your stream. If you haven't already checked out a stream, please check out a stream. And how can we check out your content on the internet?
This is really fun, dude. Thanks for asking me and inviting me. At Twitch, it's just twitch.tv/TheAmericanPigeon. Twitter and Instagram, it's just @AmericanPigeon. There's no the. And YouTube, it's TheAmericanPigeon. I sometimes post covers. And that's it. I stream Monday through Saturday. I try. Usually Monday through Friday for sure. And then I try to do Saturdays when I can. I'll be streaming in like an hour. So
nice. Have you ever had a bad hair day? And what conditioner do you have an affiliate program for?
That's so funny because
dude, check this out.
We have conditioner.
See, called that. I literally called that. I
got
have a sense.
Big bottle, dude.
Bro, I could literally sense that. I could literally sense that. Like, I could like feel that bottle of conditioner. Like, I knew it was there. God. I had to know it was there.
It was right there. I don't know why.
Like, why
that's my backup.
Why is it why even is it right there?
Why is it on the floor?
That actually doesn't even make any sense. Like,
I was ready for your question.
Wow, that was incredible. That was not planned at all. I literally, if you're listening to the podcast, you need to go to YouTube right now. You need to check out American Pigeon's like incredible hair. This is like,
it's not
envy. Like, just imagine being filled with envy, which is like I think one of the seven deadly sins. So if you want one of the seven deadly sins, just go to the YouTube channel and check out this podcast and just be filled.
You can have good hair too. Just brush your hair. So many people don't brush their hair. I had to learn that. My hair was terrible. And then one of my mods was like, why don't you just brush your hair? And I was like, I thought that was just for like girls. And then you got to brush, dude. And it makes
interesting.
It
see, I don't brush my hair. But I think...
Well, maybe harder for you.
I have like... I mean, I'm obviously not completely soaked in sweat right now.
Yeah.
But my hair seems to do all right. I don't know. I'll
try and brush it. See what happens.
I might brush it. I might also get like a 16-pound bottle of conditioner and keep that next to my computer just
in case you're gonna need a good conditioning.
Yeah, I mean sometimes after a stream, I mean your hair's already wet. You're soaked in sweat. Might as well just condition it right from there.
Dude, that's so gross. That sounds nasty.
All right, this is the weirdest ending of a podcast ever. So once again. Thank you so much for being here, man. We'll put the links to all your stuff below the chat and any of the stream notes down there. Guys can check all that stuff. And yeah, man. Once again, this is the Live Streaming Musician brought to you by LottoHype.com. My name is Tim Mahalik, and I'll see you on the internet.